Welcome to the Kawartha Small Business Podcast, where we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small business. So we created a podcast where we have million-dollar conversations that help small business owners thrive. I'm Brian Rump from Profit Coach.
And I'm Matt Garrity from Managing Digital.
And we are recording from the Thrive Podcast Studio at Thrive Coworking Community in downtown Lindsay, Ontario at 18 Kent Street West. And we have a very interesting guest today. We have Halsey, who's going to tell us all the versions of his name here in a moment. So maybe introduce yourself, tell us about you, your business, and we'll go from there.
Sure. Good morning, everybody. My name is Halsey Gonsalves, or Halsey, or Halsey, or all the various forms, depending on who you are and where you're from. I'm a hairstylist and been in the business for 23 years and recently moved to Lindsay and just building back up.
Awesome. Yeah. Why Lindsay? Why'd you move to Lindsay?
Oh boy. That's a open-ended question. First of all, just in life in general, myself and my wife wanted to slow down a bit as far as our living conditions went. I grew up in Toronto and out west in Calgary and Edmonton. I've lived across the Canada in Halifax and London, Ontario, in Vancouver and Victoria as well. And just the hustle and bustle of city life wasn't for us anymore. Although we hadn't realized that. What happened is the in-laws got older.
Oh, yeah.
And unfortunately, some personal tragedy on my side, with the loss of my brother and my daughter, you tend to shift things and just reevaluate, reorganize, restructure, yeah. However you want to look at it or put that. So I'd actually retired from hair. Don't take that the wrong way. Rather, I've retired twice from hair. Anyway, that's a different story. Between that, COVID hitting, hairstylists were the first ones to get locked out. We're on the front line of getting locked out and some of the last to go back in that, you know, my brother or my daughter had passed. And so I'd gone back to work for a couple of weeks and then said, okay, I need more me time. So I started working on a horticultural degree through Guelph online to keep busy, sought out counseling on the other side, being my wife's side. She's the youngest of three. I'm the eldest of two. What was two. And so my mom's 8 to 10 years younger than her parents. And so we've noticed in that 10 years, things start happening health-wise. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys still have your parents around, but, I'm assuming I'm a couple of years older than you guys or by far older than you guys. And, just the in-laws got a bit older. Stepfather-in-law's an early Alzheimer's, I think late diagnosis. Mom fell down the stairs a whole bunch of times at the house they were in for 40 years. And the father-in-law, I believe he's got Legionnaires. So we moved him, if you're from the area, above the old McHale's Bakery. And then, of course, you know, the other two are with us, so we're doing the multi-generational living thing.
Oh, wow.
That's, in a big nutshell, why we're in Lindsay. More bang for buck, quieter, that kind of thing.
Did you know anybody up here?
Nobody.
Do you know everybody now?
It seems, you know what, it seems that way sometimes, and I'm blessed for that. I've been introduced to some really great people in the community, and they don't steer me the wrong way as far as who they introduce me to, or as far as what local businesses to buy from or deal with, who's on board with everybody kind of thing, and who treats the community well, and so on and so forth.
And then I wanted to not take a step back, but I'm curious about how did you get into hair all those years ago? 23 years ago, you said.
It's 33 years ago.
Okay, sorry.
No, 23 years in agreement with you, Matt. I did say 23 years ago, professionally fell into it. But before that, late 80s, early 90s, me and my two best friends used to go to these Italian barbershops. And old school, you sit there until it's your turn.
Still smoking.
There was still smoking at the barber shops.
Me as a kid, that's my biggest memory, is sitting in the barbershop waiting and everyone's smoking.
Oh, dude, I had a Portuguese lady that used to cut my hair. This is when we lived in Little Italy growing up. And she'd have a smoke going while she had the clippers going on my head.
Yeah.
Right, kind of thing. In the late 80s, early 90s, me and my two best friends, we used to go get our hair cut, like I was saying, at Italian barbershops. And we're hip hop fiends. I still am to this day. I'd like to say, if you look at me, I'm a preppy homeboy. I still kind of look like I'm 12 to 50. Like I'm still wearing the same stuff that I wore when I was 12 to 15. I think you kind of revert back to whatever your nostalgia or your comfortability factor is, right? We would get them to cut our hair. And then eventually I was, Afrocentric movement was going on, Afro jazz movement, jazz and hip hop was going on, and then haircuts started changing. Yeah. And so I'd say, well, I want Nike on one side, and I want three stripes on my eyebrows, and I want Africa on the other side,
yeah.
Or I want Bangladesh, the outline of Bangladesh on one side, or whatever the case is. And they would say no, because they wouldn't want to wreck their haircuts. I got my hands up in parentheses, just in case you guys are listening.
Yeah.
So we started doing it ourselves, and interestingly enough, believe it or not, gentlemen, I had a full head of hair. Actually, very more coarse, but very similar to Matt's hair.
Oh, wow.
Different lengths, mohawks, tiger prints, whatever. Gordon is Asian persuasion. Gordon was from Hong Kong. Unfortunately, he's no longer with us. That beautiful pinstripe hair. And my friend Graham, I believe from St. Kitts, and half Scottish, and he had beautiful loose afro, all kinds of like different textures of hair. And so I kind of got good at putting designs in, or just, we started doing our own fades. And so I was a basement barber.
Oh, awesome.
For no better use of a word anyway, I don't know if that came out properly, but as a basement barber for about 10 years. And my dad, was a very different teenager. I was a very extreme case teenager, unfortunately, for my dad, who raised me at that point. And he had said, why don't you become a hairstylist at one point? And no offense to anybody, I had ignorant, in the real sense of the word, preconceived notions about what a hairstylist male was versus what a barber was. Yeah. And I said, Dad, I'm not gay. Kind of thing. And he said, what does that have to do with it? Kind of thing. Yeah. And off I went. So 10 years later, of course, when I decided to do this for a living, and I can get back to that, but I fell into it. He was like, so you're a hairstylist now. Yeah. I'm like, all right, Pops, yeah. You got me.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I'm surrounded by beautiful people at all times.
Yeah.
Be they gay, straight, male, female, whatever. You're in this beautiful spot. You're dealing with beauty.
Yeah.
And that's a blessing on both sides of the coin. For me, it makes somebody appreciate what they have, hopefully.
Oh,
and for a guy to peacock out of the salon, or for a woman to strut their stuff out of the salon, is a beautiful thing to behold. So anyway, that's kind of a short synopsis-ish of how I got into it. To finish, I was in between jobs. I had a two-year-old at the time. I was driving a forklift. I was making great money. Hated every flipping moment of that work, but it was great benefits and stuff. And you do what you got to do for your kids, as you both know. I don't know, but as you know. Then I managed a record store, again, parentheses, because really I just partied a lot and ordered records and learned to DJ. That wasn't a job to me. That was joyfulness kind of thing. And you know me, Matt, with my music oddities and obsessions. Then the record store closed. And so I just needed a part-time job. I was registered at Fanshawe College in London, Ontario. I was going to do environmental technologies work with my uncle, who is now rich and retired. Did I pick the right road?
Yeah.
I got a part-time job at a salon, literally sweeping floors and doing shampoos. And after 2 months, never looked back. I was, this is what I want to do kind of thing. Just dealing with people. You really do have to like people.
Yeah.
Perhaps like yourself. And that's a long synopsis of how I got into it.
Was that the salon you ended up buying and owning?
No, that was years later. I started off my career in London, Ontario, at a place called Deja Hair and Spa. That was there for years and years and years, working for a lovely couple. I say working for both of them. I worked for Annette and her husband, Norbert. They were both really great friends of mine. Norbert would kind of teach me men's cuts because I knew how to use clippers, but not scissors. So I kind of did all my stuff backwards. I was cutting on the floor before I went to school, was doing colors and stuff like that. So I was doing that. Then I went to George Brown, moved back to Toronto, lived with mom for a bit, moved back to London. The salon came years later. I ended up working at a couple of different salons in Yorkville.
Yeah.
And when I was at Shag, I was doing color. Yes, it's called Shag. That's a double entendre. and then I had the pleasure of working with somebody, one of the owners, years later at a place called Bang. Another double entendre.
This was intentional, wasn't it?
Apparently. So I ended up working at Furio. I decided to go to this wonderful salon in Yorkville called Furio, which is also a small franchise, well-known in Canada, well-known in Toronto, definitely.
Is it the biggest hairstyle salon chain in Canada?
I think Toronto, one of them. I'm not going to name other names, but yeah, sure. They had 10 salons or 8-9 salons and an academy at one point. So I've worked in Yorkville with them for 10 years, on and off. I say that because I moved back to London, Ontario. I wanted to spend more time with my daughter. That's where she lived at the time. And when I moved back, we had the option to buy one of the locations.
Yeah, okay.
So myself and my ex-wife, Daisy, owned, the Richmond Hill location for 5 years. And it was a good experience. It was tough. You learn what your shortcomings are. You know, during that time period, I was also a stage artist, as well as, you know, the managers or owners would go in and teach once a month at least,
yeah.
Which I think was great because you get to pinpoint who you want to work for you later, kind of thing, right? So yeah, that's how the salon came about.
Did you ever imagine yourself being a business owner?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know what it was going to be when I was younger. Both my parents, highly educated, both worked for the UN at one point. Mm. In logistics and as a secretary, we moved to Canada and then, you know, they took off on their careers. Again, highly educated parents. And so they had dreams, typical Bangladeshi East Indian parents, like, okay, educate your kids kind of thing.
Yeah.
So I didn't know what it was going to be. So I didn't have aspirations as to what business it was going to be. It kind of fell into my lap. But at some point, when you're a stylist, generally speaking, you have dreams and aspirations of doing certain things, whether it's TV or editorial work or movie sets or owning a salon or whatever the case is. And then you get it and you enjoy it and it's hard and it's tough. And there's other things involved, managing people, and as you well know, and that kind of thing. It was a dream. I achieved the dream. And then the dream changed because once you own, then you realize, wait a minute, I want to do what makes me happy again after I've done whatever aspiring I wanted to aspire to. Now, my happiest moment is behind the chair one-on-one. I don't have to worry about paying the water bill or whatever. I pay my rent and I deal with my clients one-on-one.
Yeah.
And that's, as far as business ownership goes, that's where I'm happiest.
Yeah, you often don't think about stylists as business owners or entrepreneurs, really, because you're just like, oh, they're cutting a hair in a salon, but you guys are contractors, you're freelancers.
It depends on how that goes, right?
There's some different models. I think, to me, it's one of those like age-old trade businesses where everyone has hair. There's going to be different people, different preferences.
Price points.
Yeah, price points, what you specialize in.
I will say, as far as the business model aspect goes of it, yes, what you said, to a certain degree, you're a contractor or you're freelance. But aside from that, coming up, you make nothing really for the first 7 years.
Oh, yeah.
You're building clientele, you're building your skill. And I'm not talking about your cutting skill. That is going to get better. It's how are you dealing with people in your chair?
Yeah.
And that's why I was saying you better like people kind of thing. You have to kind of chameleon and make everybody feel comfortable.
You make people feel more uncomfortable.
Uncomfortable?
No, no. And like, I'll tell you something Meg asked me a while ago.
Sure.
Like, do you think Hal actually likes us? Or is he just like that with everyone? I'm like, I think it's both. But it's just like, you have such love and joy for life.
Oh, thank you.
And it's like so infectious. And I leave hanging out with you anytime. And I'm like a peacock, like you said. I feel when I get my hair cut, I leave there. I feel better than I have aesthetically in my entire life.
Thank you.
And a lot of it's because of my hair. And it's just like, you are an infectious, if that's personality, in the most positive way.
Thank you.
Just joyous. And I think that's such a special, unique thing. And it's so easy to refer you or tell other people about you, because it's like, it's not like, okay, someone look for a haircut, like, yeah, whatever, you can get 1,000 haircuts, but like, you gotta go to hell because you're gonna feel so good afterwards.
Thanks.
And I think that's an incredibly unique, very positive thing about you.
I will take that. You, in a sense, that's the goal, definitely. But you specifically, for instance, yeah, you're going to connect with certain people more.
Sure.
Because like, and I'll get back to this about chameleon, being a chameleon, sort of. For Matt, and I've said this to you and Meg, the highest compliment any stylist can get, as far as I'm concerned, is if you get your client's children.
Oh, yeah.
Who are you letting around your kid with any kind of sharp implement?
Yeah.
Nobody. The dentist, maybe, at the doctor's office, or the dermo, maybe, but that's not a common thing.
Yeah.
Back to the peacocking thing, and whether I'm friends with all of my clients. No, I'm not friends with all of my clients. You are going to connect with genuine people. I'm just speaking from my point, kind of thing. And to end that thought, what I used to say when I was instructing, I used to say, you attract you to a certain degree to your chair, and you do.
Hmm.
But that can go either way,
yeah.
Right? And then I changed it. Working in certain areas in Toronto,
oh, yeah.
Being snootier or not snootier, take how
yeah.
Y'all out there, take that however you will. What I would say to my students is, attract who you want in your chair.
Yeah.
I want good energy. I don't want dour, sour people.
Oh, yeah.
On the flip side of that, I'm up for the challenge. I am. You have the difficult client. You have the picky client. You have the client that's never happy. I'm the guy that I'll try to rise to that challenge, because somebody should have, like, maybe they just haven't had that, like,
yeah.
That one-off experience where it's like, holy moly, I look good, or I feel
yeah.
really great after that, energy-wise, hair-wise, whatever. On the flip side of what I just said, I just did fire a client.
Yeah, that happens sometimes.
That happens every so often. It's happened thrice yeah. in my whole career, ever. Because I said, I would rather work with somebody to make them really happy, kind of thing. But it has to go both ways, too.
Yeah.
When I first started my business, I would work with anyone, and I would take any type of scope of work.
You have to.
I remember someone one time was like, will you just do cold calls for me? I was like, yeah, that's business. I'll do that. He paid me well, and I did it. And
yeah.
Like, you just take whatever you can to get where you need to. But now I'm very much at the point where I joke with people when I do like a discovery call. It's 15 minutes, and they think that it's an opportunity for them to see if they like me.
Yeah.
I joke with the ones where I have like a good relationship after 10 minutes. And I'm like, this wasn't about you liking me. It was like, do I want to work with you?
Yeah.
Like, what do you like to work with?
Well, what do you have to offer too? It has to go both ways.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be able to
equal
do
thing,
your
whatever,
art or do
yeah.
the thing that you're good at. So
yeah.
And I like what you said about being up for the challenge, because sometimes it is that challenge with, you know, people coming with masks of all sorts on where they just haven't maybe found that right person yet. But then, you know, that only goes so far where you bridge them through that insecurity or, you know, give them what you want or embrace the challenge to do the hard work. But yeah, if they're not good to work with, then you know, they become the person that you, you know, fire and don't work with. But
there it is.
Yeah, you gotta find people that you enjoy working with.
And that goes, you know, staff and clientele kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I've walked into a very beautiful situation kind of thing. And again, it has to go back with, I'm very fond of saying this. You've heard me say this. Lindsay has been a balm to our souls.
Yeah.
B-A-L-M, people. really a salve. It's been healing for us. I think people, this goes across the board in any smaller to medium-sized community outside of a major metropolitan post-COVID. We got to work from home, yeah. Right? The whole world is also going through PTSD. When you're scared to come out, you're scared to go without a mask. You're wondering why a mask, whatever. There's a new influx of energies in these communities.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that Lindsay, I'm part of it, but I'm also seeing it happen kind of thing. That's been a beautiful thing to witness. You know, back to the community thing and what you can bring to it. Yeah.
That's awesome.
What else you want to talk about?
We well, do you have any more questions?
Well, no,
I can talk.
You're like, you're here because you're super interesting. And I think there's like a business fundamental that's great. So like we've kind of covered a lot of those so far, which I think is cool without like, you know, asking specific questions about it. Cause I think you're, you know, you add that value to people, you make them feel good. You're in a business where people pay for, you know, they're not paying for the labor of cutting their hair. They're paying for the art and the connection and you're paying to feel good.
I do say that, you can go kind of get your hair cut anywhere. You want the 5 minute or 10 minute haircut, do it. Cause that's what people have time for. And that's what people want. On the other hand, if you want the experience, then do that.
Yeah.
There's options for it within the industry. Actually, let me get back to that. When you start, I kind of veered off as usual. When you start, you're making nothing for a good several years, and there's a burnout rate after that. Back to being at work all the time, I don't generally go anywhere still 23 years later without my business card.
Yeah.
I don't know who I'm going to run into. I'm the guy that will say, you have awesome hair. Here's my card. I would love to work with you kind of thing. I'm also the guy that will say, if you're in love with your hairstylist, stay with them. We work really hard to keep you guys in our chairs.
Yeah.
And I'll say kudos to your hairstylist, whatever the case is. That first 7 years is really hard. You're burnt out. You're doing the events. You're going to the hair shows. You're doing fashion shows. You're doing, hopefully, editorial work or learning or being an assistant. Or then there comes a point, we were talking about structure and pay structure and stuff like that, right? And how it works, where let's say you're making an hourly wage, right? What generally I think a good role, a good model business-wise, because you're making hourly, whatever that is, plus your tips. Then a good way to do it and how I used to do it is, okay, now you're on commission after a year. So you built up a little bit of a clientele as a junior stylist, let's say, or colorist, or let's say you do both. So if your commission's higher, that's what you get. If your hourly's higher, that's what you get. You got a year for that. So that's now you're in year two after your first 7 years. or after you have somewhat of a clientele, or if you fall into a good situation, like me moving to Lindsay, where your clientele comes quick and fast, that's great too. Then you go on straight commission. And that leads to thoughts of, well, I want that other 50% that the franchise is getting.
Yeah.
Plus your service fee, plus your taxes. So what are you making? 35, 40% of let's say you're charging, I'm saying $100 as a number. Yeah. Boy, you're making $35 off of that. Putting in a lot of work for that, for that 1 hour. So you start wondering, well, do I have enough clientele to rent a chair? Does a salon offer that? Do I take my clientele and move somewhere and say, well, I want a 60-40 split. I'm bringing my clientele, but you have the facility. So I've been in all kinds of those situations. Yeah. And for me, what works for me, it was a little scary coming here because I had zero clientele.
Yeah.
So how I did it here was 2 Aprils ago. It's been over a year that I've been at the salon there. Big ups to Therapy Beauty Bar in wonderful Lindsay, Ontario, Canada. I went in and had a chat with them. Like I said, I was working on a horticultural degree as well, which I'm doing very slowly and in my own damn time. I took a job with Hills Nurseries and Florist in town here because there is nobody better to work with and for than the Hills, horticultural-wise especially. So I was there Monday through Friday, and I decided to work at the salon on Saturdays. Now, I went on commission for that. They got an amount, I got an amount. Because I actually had no leverage, and I was okay with that. Because I'm new to the area.
And you know,
maybe I had 6 regular clients because I worked somewhere else for a millisecond.
Yeah.
And those people found me, actually, because I kind of just... That was the 10-minute haircut versus the experience.
Yeah.
And no offense to that again. So I worked Saturdays for 6 months, and I built up a small clientele. And the deal with them was that once I came on, I say full-time, but my full-time is 4 days a week these days.
Yeah.
Once I came on 4 days a week, then I would be paying rent for my chair. Hmm. So I'm my own business within that business.
Yeah.
Like you said, a contractor.
Sure.
Getting back to that took a long time to get back to that. For me, that business model worked well because, again, in a smaller community, maybe the options for a great person doing something that you connect with are a little bit more limited versus what was the number? I think when I first worked in Yorkville, in that 4-city block area, there was 250 salons.
Oh, wow.
That's bonkers. And that's options. And that's great for business because there's competition.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm down for the competition.
Mm-hmm.
So that business model worked for me because they're very busy. They share clientele. They'll suggest, you know, if you're booked up a couple of months, you don't want your clients to wait for that haircut if you're doing their color. So as a suggestion, maybe you should see that house that you got. And that's how it went over here. And it's been really great. I've kind of got a full-ish clientele already. I've been on the floor for 6 months. And again, right timing, post-COVID.
Yeah.
Lindsay, the people you're meeting, the people you're working for, it all comes into play, as we all know.
It's a challenging business to scale because
absolutely.
You can only, how many haircuts can you do in a day? 10?
I can do lots of haircuts.
More than 10?
Yeah.
But like, what would you want to do in a day?
Really? I just want to, eventually what I'd like to do, I don't think this will happen, but 1 hour, one client. That's it. 1 hour, one client. But other people don't want that hour.
Yeah.
They want to be in and out. So you kind of like, you make notes in your files or whatever of
wow.
who's doing what.
That's so complicated. I hate that.
That's not complicated.
To me, like the way my brain works, like I hate it though.
Like for instance, with you, Matt, I used to book an hour for Matt for the first couple of haircuts. We've done what, 5, maybe 6 haircuts now?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Sure.
For the first 2 to 3, I booked a full hour with you because I trim his beard and I shoot stuff with him. I shoot the breeze with him and I cut his hair. And on a side note, people think short haircuts are like zip, zip, and get out. Now, if you go to a 10-minute place, maybe it is. It takes me way longer to do a short haircut than a long haircut. And I'm just talking about the cutting part of it. It's picky work.
Yeah.
Beard work. You screw up a beard, you screw it up good. You screw up a short haircut, you screw it up good. So
sure. It's
way pickier. But now I know I just need 45 minutes with him because I'm used to his hair and I know how it grows out. And I'm used to doing what I do with his beard and whatever the case is.
And we're chatty, though, too. I bet you we could do
10. Yeah,
you know,
not
I,
10.
But like,
I could probably finish Matt's hair and beard in half an hour. But again, it's that experience thing. I don't want to feel rushed doing his hair, and I never want him to feel rushed. Like, I'm getting him in and out.
Right,
not for what I charge.
Moneymaker.
Not for what I charge. There it is. Yeah.
It is true. And like, I don't know if you were kidding or not, but
I'm serious. When we look at your marketing, you know, you get recognized from the podcast a lot because people are like, oh, like you have a distinctive look that people recognize. So it's like marketing. What I'm really saying is whatever you're paying isn't enough. The price should really be
going up.
It's like how I already gouged me. I'm joking, of course.
I didn't know if you were kidding or not because I completely agree. And I go out almost every time in public thinking it's a marketing opportunity.
It is.
A horrible maybe way to think about it. But I dress a certain way. I always just dress like this. Jeans and a t-shirt. I don't dress up. This is just how I am. If I'm at the market on Saturday, getting my hair done, groceries, working, if I have a massive client pitch, I'm wearing this. This is just who I am. And hair to me is so important. It, to me, is the thing that people see, I think, almost first.
It's one of the things, definitely.
And
for you, it might be beard, not so much anymore.
Beard. True, yeah.
Now we're looking at pretty peepers again.
But like to me, that's why when my hair is like, if I go 4 weeks, it's too long for me, and I get uncomfortable. And I think that being uncomfortable affects my mood, my attitude, and how I'm presenting myself. Versus when I get a haircut for those first 2 to 3 weeks, like you said, I'm peacocking all around. I am just like full of myself. Last week, because I got my haircut last week.
How about we say positive energy?
And like, I can't get my head through door frames. Like, I'm just like, so happy, right? And I love it. It just it makes me more confident business-wise. I didn't realize we're gonna, like this was going to come up, but it's so true about like looking good and having great hair. Like, it
makes
me
feel. It's how you feel, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
I know for me, I don't have a lot of hair, but like people will joke if it gets a bit too long, like I don't feel very good. It's also not easy. To like, you know, you go to the super cheap place and then you screw it up. Like,
now, is this long for you?
No, this is, I got hair cut last week.
See, this is long for me.
Yeah.
I'm a once a week, I try once a week, or if you see me in hats all the time, it's because I haven't cut my hair.
Yeah.
It is a very personal thing as to how neat or not neat you feel. And in kind of on the flip side of what you guys were just saying, as a hairstylist, I'm in the beauty industry. You better not look like a schlepper.
Yeah.
I pick one day out of the week to be really fancy.
Yeah.
And that Saturday is, I used to say to my staff, that's generally or should be the busiest day of any day at a salon.
Sure.
So we can. People are free. Right? So what? You're going to come in. Get your hair done with somebody who looks like they just rolled out of bed.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. You're relying on that person for your look. And like you said, Matt, it's one of the first things you're going to look at outwardly, right? Hair, eyes, clothes, whatever. So look the part, be the part, act the part. I know that's cheesy, but I really feel that way.
Yeah. It's true. Like people think marketing is about creative and pretty things. And if they see me and my hair is just out of control and I've got a stain on my shirt, they're going to start thinking like, is this guy going to be paying attention to my marketing stuff?
To the details.
The details. Yeah. And I tell people, everyone that I work with, like all the contractors, like we are a detail factory. Like we're not even doing marketing. We just have to get all the details right. We can't spell things wrong. Lines have to be in the perfect spot. It's like, it's just details. Everything else doesn't even really matter. It's just the details.
Yeah.
And I think that
well, like everything else falls into place if the details are there, right? Sorry, go ahead.
No, like, yeah, exactly. Like, it's just, that's, if we're having people second guess, like something, if they're seeing, again, that stained shirt or hair that's a mess, they're like, you don't even want to create that doubt in their mind. It's the same way with you as like a stylist. Like,
absolutely.
If I walked in, you just had a pizza stain on yourself and looked all disheveled, like that's not cool. I remember years ago, I was like a teenager or in my 20s. We had like, we went to this fancy restaurant with a handful of our friends on New Year's Day. where was that? Mount Tremblant. And it was like a Japanese restaurant, really nice, really fancy. It was New Year's Day because the waiter got there and was like, hey, I'm so-and-so. I'm so hungover from last night. And in my head, I'm like, yeah, like, I was just in my head, I was like, why would you introduce yourself that way? Like, immediately now, I'm like, he's like, he drops a drink or does this and that. I'm like, this guy.
Yeah, you're an edge.
I'm like wondering, like, what happened to this guy? And it's just a bad little thing or like seed to plant in people's minds. So.
Yeah, that's a good bridge of, yeah, showing up, being who you want to be. You know, it's about more than just, yeah, the labor of getting your hair cut.
Again, the experience part of it, it is unreasonable to me for anybody to look sloppy at a salon.
Yeah.
Do you think when people say the word the experience, do you think sometimes people getting into that business maybe overthink it and think they have to maybe create an experience with some sort of preconceived notions versus just creating the experience that's like matches them?
Sometimes, but I think that's a learning, that's a learning curve. You know, when we first had the salon, we ran it a certain way. Yeah. And then after 6 months or a year, it's like, okay, let's change this. This doesn't work. Like with any other business, right?
Yeah.
Figure out what works for you and your clientele.
Yeah.
Or you figure out what works for you. This is what I have to offer.
Yeah.
Does your clientele like that?
Yeah.
Or that's who you cater to.
You find the client. That to me is the beauty of like the hair industry and why.
It's wide and varied.
When I study, you know, business, and even if you look at, there's like a downtown revitalization study for, I think there's one for Omimi, Lindsay, Fenlon, Bob Cajun. Part of that study is like demographics and types of business. And there's always a, you know, this many people live here. This is how many haircut chairs you need to service that population.
But how much walk-by is there, blah, blah,
but
blah.
But within that, you need the whole spectrum of choice, right? So you need, to me, I would encourage people to like, you know, be your personality, set up the place you want to be.
Yep.
Because, yeah, I could walk by the big, like, you know, I don't have much hair, but like, I don't go to the big chain places that are inexpensive where you just feel like it's a factory. Like, you know, for the 10 minutes I'm there or five, like I want at least to be an enjoyable experience. So you want to have those. So if you're listening to this, thinking about getting in and overthinking all these details, it's like, be the person you are. And
I'll answer for me over the course of the years. I think a hair salon should look like a jewelry box, meaning you open it up and you can see everything. So when you look at the salon that I work at, look through the front window. Guess what? You can see all the way through the back, through to the back, rather. Your clientele, I've been to salons where it's closed off in the front. You can't you can't, like, what's going on back there? Show your people. It's, I can lick the floors. They're so clean. The baseboards are clean. Details, Matt, right?
Oh, yeah.
Look around kind of thing. The mirrors are clean. Guess what? The bathroom's clean. So on and so forth. This person's getting color. That person's getting a blowout. This person's getting a shampoo. Whatever the case is, that person's getting their nails done, or he is getting their nails done, or they are getting their nails done. However, you know, you should be able to, in my opinion, look through the front window or walk through the door and see everything that's going on. There shouldn't be anything hidden because it's a very personal thing. People are touching you, breathing on you, whatever, like washing your hair, so on and so forth. So I guess I'm agreeing with you kind of thing.
I think that's definitely important. And as you say that, I was thinking about just places I've walked by where it's like, I have no idea
what is going on
in there. Or like, is this a cool spot? This semester I teach at Fleming, and some students did like, they were applied projects class and they were learning about different businesses and had them pick businesses they liked. And I don't know if you've been by Henry's Barbershop in Peterborough.
No.
It's on Hunter Street. And
oh, that's one of the main streets. I'm still learning, guys. Sorry.
Yeah, it's a little cafe district. It's great, but they have it's like a vibrant, like nightlife type of barbershop where it's like you go like Friday night and you can't get a spot. And it's like, you know, I remember the one student's just like, oh, it's so awesome there. Like, there's good music playing and just like, just love the vibe. And it was so neat to watch these young kids sort of get excited about that. Cause like, you know, 20 years ago in Peterborough, like it was all old guy barbershop.
I love that you just shared that.
But yeah, just such a cool
sport. Again, they found their niche kind of thing. On that note, when I first started in London, Ontario at Deja Hair and Spa, Wednesdays, the salon would kind of close around 3 or 4, but then there'd be 3 or 4 stylists there.
Yeah.
And the clients coming in on Wednesday from 4 o'clock to 8 o'clock knew we'd have a DJ in there. We'd have guest DJs come in.
Yeah.
That's the day, like, fun. Let me rephrase that. That's the day people would come in with funkier hair, generally speaking. Generally, it was generally a younger crowd. Like you were saying, the students got excited about seeing Henry's doing so well.
Yeah.
And just the vibe that's there kind of thing. So we created this different vibe. Sometimes we'd have hors d'oeuvres kind of thing, or champagne and hors d'oeuvres or something. Yeah. It was just a different kind of flow. And that helped me gain clientele really quick in the university segment kind of thing when I was in London. So I think that's a great flip of an old school barbershop. We've seen a lot of that, right?
Do you think personality is coming back and or existing better? I think of the older generations, and I go to a family reunion now, and there's some, like, you know, it's all retired people. But if I start looking at people's hair, there's pops of color everywhere. People aren't afraid of, like, the pink or the purple streak. Whereas, you know, in the 90s, every haircut was kind of the same. It was like
perm,
hairsprayed. Yeah, the Rachel. And now it's like, I mean, I love it. I think it's just the art. And I don't know if it's a product of people want it, or if just there's hairstylists out now who are, you know, just experimenting.
Here's one way to look at it. The people that were in there, because we're seeing a lot of like 60 to 80 year olds do that, right?
Yeah.
They're not scared to do that, whereas before it was like you'd see old school. It's very old school.
You can't do that in the office.
No. Business has changed that way. Yeah. But those people that are now 60 to 80, they're in their 40s and 50s then. Maybe pushing 60.
Yeah.
So the mindset's different. And they're open to, like, I'm a Leafs fan and I got white hair. You know what? It's the playoffs. Let's go.
Yeah.
We both know that's not happening. Then there's Edmonton. Or these guys.
Yeah.
Anyway. I love seeing whether somebody likes it, whether you like looking at it, you, me. The fact that people are doing it and have the gumption, the want, the confidence, the change in attitude, like what you were saying, is, I think that's beautiful. Be you. Be you, however that is. You might be the most demure little thing, right? And you take your hat off and it's, ow, Royal Bengal tiger print, whatever, right?
Yeah.
Like, I like that we're seeing that.
Yeah, I think it's
just a lot more open-mindedness.
I think it's also just, you know, as I think out loud, like, you know, you are kind of the you store, right? You're not the place you schlep into to get your hair cut. It's like the place you go to buy you.
That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, the you store.
How can you front and show you more? Go see Halsey.
Yeah.
Whatever the case is, right?
That's cool.
Yeah.
So three people walked into Thrive yesterday. Sounds like a joke, but it's not. Three people walked into Thrive. In all seriousness, two of them had like bright colored hair, like reddish almost, more red than pink. And then the other one was purple and green. And then the other person just had, quote, regular hair. And I'm like, why do you look like you're the one that's out of place here?
that's hilarious. Yeah.
But I wonder what that shift was, like, where people are more comfortable displaying their personality.
I think it was, to me, it's like one of those rules that maybe was never a rule. Because everyone's like, oh, you can't do that, you can't do that. But I'm a pretty boring, vanilla-looking guy. I prefer hanging out with, like, if I see someone with, like, colorful hair or different things like that. Like, that's where I'm going to gravitate to. Like, those are interesting people. And I want to be like, yeah, look at you. You're awesome.
Yeah.
Versus like I never am like, oh, that person dyed their hair. There must be.
Again, at the risk of sounding morbid, that really overly conservative generation, as far as looks go.
Yeah.
They're gone.
Yeah.
True.
So guess what? Be you.
Yeah.
You don't have to be constrained. You can have fun hair and go to work. It doesn't have to be like this. It can be like this.
Yeah.
Kind of thing. You can have a beard at work.
Yeah.
Oh my God, did you grow your beard out and you work at the bank? Kind of like, it's not on for me. I'm dealing with the person. This is bonus for me. I'm seeing your personality.
Yeah.
It gives me clues to what I'm going to deal with here.
I worked, this is a quick last story. Someone had worked at the bank and there was all these, rules that maybe weren't rules. And I worked with somebody who was, past due for retirement, but like staying around, who was heavily tattooed.
Yeah.
And one day she was just like, my whole career, everyone's like, oh, you'll get fired if people see your tattoo. So she always wore like long sleeves and like long collar stuff. Cause she had some, I think like a Betty Boop on her neck.
Awesome.
And then like one day she just started like, wearing what she wanted to wear. And like, everyone loves it.
The year before the package came?
Yeah. Well,
just bugging.
The package didn't.
Do they even exist anymore?
Yeah, she kind of skipped. She was hoping for the package.
And yeah.
She was kind of challenging them to
give her the
package. But it was just a neat thing. It's like, yeah, be you. And then all of a sudden everyone's like excited by it because there's this like.
Somebody's being them. Whoever heard.
Covered
it. Well, you say you're conservative, whatever. First thing I noticed, I was like, look at the socks and shoes on this cat.
I knew you were coming in today. So I
also, your frames are just amazing.
Oh, anyway. Thank you. Shout out to Eye Care Center for those.
Eye Care Center, where's that?
Kind of over near Giant Tiger.
Right here, baby. Yeah. That Rudy guy.
Yeah.
Cassie, what up? Big ups.
Yeah.
And Karen at the desk. And Dr. Ng. He's probably the best optometrist I've ever had in my life.
Awesome.
Ng is amazing. That's a personality.
Personality. Yeah, Cassie ordered these special for me. I was like,
she's amazing.
I need a second pair of glasses that's got some personality. And
she's got a good eye, that lady. I've had nothing. It's nerve wracking going to new people.
Yeah.
Whether it's hair or whatever kind of thing. Yeah. And they made me feel, so special. They made me feel absolutely comfortable. Jim Ng, chameleon, talked to me like he was my homeboy.
Oh, yeah.
Cause he's an old school homeboy.
Yeah.
So, blind what he looks like kind of thing. Yeah. He just absolutely made me feel so at ease in that you're getting drops in your eyes, things on your head, whatever.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Watch the lights. I'm in agreement. Great spot.
Yeah, it's a great spot. All right. What's where can people find you?
I am at 3 Kent, on the corner of Lindsay and Kent Street in beautiful downtown Lindsay, Ontario, at Therapy Beauty Bar.
Awesome. And Matt, one thing you want people to know about you and where they find you?
Not enough people know that your business exists. I can help you get found on Google in less than 60 days. Go to my website and book a call at mattygdigital.com.
All right. And I am Brian, and I want to be known as the business coach and teacher that helps your business get money with grants, increased sales, and streamlining your business for revenue and profit. You can find me at profitcoach.ca. Matt and I collaborate to help you start, grow, or recharge your business, and we want to work with you. If you want to discuss working with us or be a guest on the podcast, send us an email to setitup@kawarthasmallbusinesspodcast.ca. And remember, we believe the Kawarthas can be the most thriving region in Canada for small businesses.